Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 28th day of April, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is money. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Alleluia, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces. And we have a Daily Mail page there where we put up links for current events, prepper information, health information, etc. And the home page, which is the first page, is where you find out how to help us out financially if you feel so inclined. For those who do, bless your hearts. Yahweh bless. There's a Contact Us page. If you do not have my personal contact information, you can go there and leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Now, Andrew Torba, who started Gab.com, just recently put out a thing about the state of the world, and it's very much in line with what we've been talking about. And in that statement, he talked about forming communities, parallel communities. So, once again, even though this is just a small radio station, but the message is pure, and as Yahweh says in His word, that His words will not go out and come back to Him void. So when we speak the truth, when we speak His wisdom, even over small radio stations or even person-to-person contact, it's going to reach ears. And some ears are going to perk up and they're going to realize that it is a truth. And so I believe Andrew Torba, whether he listens directly to this show or not, doesn't matter. But the idea is percolating out through our people. And again, Richard Buckminster Fuller said it, never change things by fighting the existing reality, which is Mystery Babylon. To change something, build a new model, which is our Christian or believers communities, that makes the existing model obsolete. And the existing model is obsolete. It's falling apart. First of all, you can't keep civilization going with automatons and cretins. Okay, that's what the New World Order promotes. And I've seen it even in the United States ever since the 1970s when I was in the Air Force. It started way back then, around 1975. This whole Jewish concept of putting people in positions of authority and power who don't deserve it. They do not have the merits to have that position. Well, the Jew had to get us to agree to that, because if we held people accountable, if we held people to only giving people who deserved it because of their talents those positions, Jews would not be in government. Jews would not be in corporatocracy because they're incompetent. Oh, well, Dan, no, Jews are really brilliant people. No, they're not. Get that out of your heads. No, they're not. If the Jews were that smart, they wouldn't need to steal everything from the rest of us. If they were that good at labor and producing, they would not need to enslave mankind. The Jews are incompetent and incapable. That's why they're parasites. But they have to get you to agree to allow them to be parasites. And that's what they did in the United States and virtually every other white nation. Think about how this is all came about. Exactly as our Aryan Messiah told us 2,000 years ago, beware the leaven of the Pharisee. And we didn't listen, did we? We want to play church, by the way. I got some feedback this week, basically denigrating me for not doing, quote, teaching. I thought long and hard about that. Have I let everybody down by not going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, like some ministries do? I don't think so, because to be honest with you, where did Messiah do that? And I'm asking honestly, if I'm missing something, somebody pointed out to me. When did Messiah carry around a book or a bunch of scrolls and open them up and say, okay, we're going to start here in Ezekiel and we're going to cover chapters 3 and 4 today? When did he do that? Or did he go about telling the truth and having compassion for his brethren? And when they needed healing, give them information or laid hands on them to heal them. If they needed some other truth, he gave them that truth. He showed compassion. It seems to me that our Messiah, who we claim to be followers of, spent more time talking about day-to-day things and how the scripture related that than he did, quote, teaching word for word. All right? So if that's my mistake, if I'm wrong for doing that, well then, I'm sorry, but I'm a follower of the way. And I'm also a follower of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit told me that's what to do, I would do it, but it's not. I think we're past that point, okay? If people haven't come to a knowledge of what's in the Word by now, that means you're not reading it. You're not studying it on your own. If you do not have that kind of knowledge, well, then whose fault's that? Mine or yours? Enough of that. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. Amen. Amen. So why did we pick the topic money today? Because, again, with Catherine Austin Fitz and so many of the other truth tellers out there, we find out that almost everything that's being done to us this day is done by people who are in love with money. And that includes those of us that allow the tyrants to get away with what they do. Okay? If you're afraid of losing your job, that's a form of love of money. If you're afraid your wife is going to get upset or your kids because you can't buy them what they want, that's a form of love of money. Because some people said, well, I've got to be able to do this. I got to have two cars. I've got to put my child through college. I got to. Do you really have to? Or is it just you fear the consequences of not, because people might call you bad names or your wife or kids might get upset? You have to think about those things, okay? Because money is a powerful influencer. And we're going to cover some verses here that go into all that. But if you think about all of the tyrannical things, even if you're just going to focus on the last 4 years, how much tyranny, how much insanity was crammed down our throats with the power of money? Okay? Why did restaurants and government buildings and courthouses and all the institutions and education, et cetera, why did they go along with the insanity of the scamdemic? There was no pandemic, except of stupidity. Okay, why? Because money was tied to it. Either they got a handout from the government, which is money in their pocket, or they were threatened with fines, which is another form of punishment, financial punishment. So you could go along and get a fistful of money from the government, or you could fight them and they would challenge you and try to shut you down and take money from you. But it all revolved around money. And why did people do the stupid things that they did? For fear of losing their money. As the verse that we're going to read here in a little bit says, the love of money, the love, the lusting of, the I will do whatever it takes to get it kind of desire for financial gain, that is the love of money. Henry David Thoreau said it. He must have been talking about this time. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one striking at the root. So 1 out of 1,000 people get it. Have you noticed that in your circle and all? That's about the way it is, isn't it? 0.1%. That's it. 1 out of 1,000 seem to get it. All the rest of them are like the lemmings jumping off the cliff. It's unbelievable. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Basically, the Bible telling us again, woe to those who turn everything 180 degrees out, which over the last 4.5 years, you've lived it in spades. Okay, the government's been doing that as long as I've been alive, and many sources out there besides government, but corporations and even the church world, calling evil good and good evil. It's been put backwards, okay? Calling ignorance knowledge and then taking real knowledge and calling it ignorance. And that's exactly what we've been living through. But here again, why? Why did we go through all this nonsense? For the love of money. Really, when you boil it down, it's the love of money. Unbelievable. Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Yahweh Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. You are the one I praise. I wonder, how many of our people do that? You know, it talks about crying out to our Father on our beds. And I often wondered about that. Why would it say on our beds? When I was a boy and I read that in Scripture, it was like, that doesn't make sense. Why didn't it say in our churches? It's kind of funny. It never talks about in our churches. Nothing in there about church services. But our beds, why? Because the bed, at least it's supposed to be, hopefully it is in your case, the bed is one place where the outside world has little influence, especially if you're like me, because there are no radios or televisions on. It's pitch black. It's quiet. The door shut. No interference. No other person in the room. And so you have time to pray, or as I like to call it, talk to the Father via the Holy Spirit within you. But remember, he speaks to us in a still, small voice. He doesn't have a megaphone. He's not screaming in your ear and trying to get you to pay attention over the noises of this world. That's why it says to go to your quiet place, which for many of us, again, is the bedroom while we're in there relaxing and just kind of unwind and take your time, talk to the Father. And even better, listen for that still small voice. Now, again, this advice or what we're talking about here is for true believers. And I have the contention that the number of true believers out there is probably very similar to what Mr. Buckminster Fuller and David Thoreau were talking about. A very small number. Maybe 1 out of 1,000, maybe 1 out of 5,000. Not a very big number. In your circles, how many people do you know that actually follow through with what they claim to believe? They claim to follow the way, but how many of them do you know? And be honest, okay? So I wanted to focus on money because, again, all week long, I'm reading these reports and I'm reading what's going on, and almost every time you could boil it down to this damn thing called money, which, by the way, when Adam and Eve, our people, our great ancestors, were put upon this earth, there was no money. They didn't use money. They didn't need money. Everything you need to live upon this earth, Yahweh has given you free of charge. In fact, the best things in this world are unadulterated things right out here in nature, because once man gets a hold of it, it's stripped of its essential minerals and vitamins, it's processed, it's cooked, it's chemically adulterated. So what man provides and what everybody thinks they need all this money for is actually polluted, whereas the things you really truly need, which are, you know, nutritious food and vitamins, those are out there in the dirt free of charge in your backyard, in your forests, or in your garden. Okay, totally free of charge. And it's beautiful to see how many people are now growing gardens. I'm seeing it in so many different circles, and even small groups of people getting together with a common garden, maybe like building their houses in a circle or in an oblong circle. And the area in the middle is where their gardens are. And they help each other by tilling gardens and guarding it. That's why the houses are on the outside and the gardens are inside their circle. Makes perfect sense. So they guard their food supply and they guard each other and they have each other's backs, because your neighbors in your backyard, you don't have to worry about that so much. You just take care of what's in the front yard. A little bit like circling your wagons back in the days of the Wild West. As soon as there was trouble, what did they do? Circled the wagons. Everybody stayed within the wagons and fended off the evil ones. And the amount of evil ones we have today is astounding. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils." All right, now, people constantly read but never come to the full knowledge of the truth, do they? Always learning, Scripture says. Always learning, but never coming to the full knowledge. This one verse right here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, the very first sentence in that verse, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils." If people today took that one verse or that one partial verse and applied it to every facet of their life, do you think life would be the way it is today in the world? No, it wouldn't. Just that one verse. Forget the rest of the Bible. Forget the rest of the teachings. One verse. Okay? Stop lusting for money. Because whatever you lust for, the enemy knows that's your weakness. If you lust for power, then they can bribe you. Or they can tempt you by offering you, quote, positions you don't deserve. I saw this in the military. I saw this in the corporate world. There are a lot of people in the upper levels of the corporations and even in the military that are incompetent. But they know they were put there by the Jews, who are at the very top of all of this miscegenation. Okay, they were put there by them because they knew they could be manipulated. Just like there's a lot of talking about this Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and the fact that he's flip-flopped. That's because everybody in Washington is compromised. There is no political solution, folks. Please stop talking like you're going to vote your way out of communism. No, you voted your way into it, but you are going to have to fight your way out. Get that through your heads. There is no peaceful solution save the coming of Messiah. Now, if Messiah does not want us to be in a hot war, he needs to come back here pretty quick. Because that's where we're headed. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." It's called tribulation. Because if you love money, if you lust it, and you don't get what you want, then you're going to have many pangs. And besides that, if you are truly one of Yahweh's children, you're going to have pangs in the sense that the Holy Spirit is going to convict you for your blasphemy. Because a true son and daughter of the Most High should not lust after money. All the people I know who walk in Yahweh's ways do not love money. It's not that we don't use it. That's the way this world works. Of course we use it. But they use it like a tool instead of something to lust after and hang on to and gloat over and just be beside themselves trying to obtain more of it. All right? It's a tool. It should be treated like a tool. It's what we do in this world, not the amount of possessions or the amount of money. Hebrews 13, verse 5, keep your life free from love or lusting of money. Okay, so very similar concept. Keep your life free from lusting money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I look back past the many years that I've now walked this earth, I remember praying the prayer, and the name of the guy that said the prayer in Scripture escapes me at the moment. But it was a prayer that basically said, Father, give me your blessings as far as wealth, so much so that I am able to take care of the things I have to, but not so much that I think I don't need you. In other words, not great wealth, just enough to get by, enough to pay the bills, feed my family, keep the car running, that sort of thing, okay? And do not forsake me of money to where I embarrass myself and you by becoming a thief. So don't allow me so little that I am tempted to be a thief, but don't give me so much that I think that I can do everything myself without you. And I look back, because I prayed that prayer when I was a boy, I look back at my life, and that's exactly where he's kept me my entire life. Always right in the middle. I was never dirt poor, never went to bed hungry, praise Yahweh. Always had a comfortable place to sleep, but I've never had great amount of money sitting around in a bank account or in CDs or any of that kind of crap. All right? Always kept me in the middle. And I used to think about that. Maybe I don't deserve great riches, but then I look at the people that have great wealth and all they do is stress over keeping that wealth. If they're in the stock market, they're watching the stock market every day and stressing if it goes up or down. My whole life, I didn't care where the stock market was. I didn't care what they were doing in China or what they were doing in Europe or what they're doing in South America. So you see the beauty of that? So I didn't have to worry about that. On the other hand, I wasn't dirt poor, so I was never tempted to be a thief, and usually had enough that if somebody needed something, I could help them out. It's more blessed to be a giver than a receiver. Isn't that true? Okay, so again, does he answer prayer? Absolutely, especially if it's a righteous prayer. I know some people that pray for a winning lottery ticket. Do you think that's a proper prayer? Maybe you do. I don't, but some people, maybe they do. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh God and money. Let that sink in now. This is in Matthew 6. It's not the writings of Paul. You cannot serve Yahweh God and money. Again, simple verse, says a lot. How many people put it to practice in their life? Again, ever seeking to learn, but never coming to the full knowledge of the truth. I can tell you churches are full of people who have read right past that verse, and it didn't have one bit of an effect on their life whatsoever. Always learning, always studying the scriptures, poring over the scriptures, and yet nothing changes in their life. Never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's like one guy said one time, and it was very interesting. He said, you can boil the scriptures down to one sentence, actually just a phrase. Do no harm. And I thought, wow, that's pretty simplistic. But you know, it's pretty much true. Every word in that thing you're carrying around called a Bible has a basic message that says, do no harm. Do no harm to yourself. Do no harm to the earth. Do no harm to your neighbor. Do no harm to your psyche. Do no harm to your emotions. Don't seek the things that you shouldn't be seeking. Do no harm. When you're in His ways, there is no harm. When you're content with what you have, there is no harm. You don't lay around worrying or stressing about money and stocks and bonds, blah, 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 blah. Does it make sense? Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Whoa, wait a minute, what? He who loves or lusts money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. Yeah, because like I said, I know lots of millionaires. Mostly they're friends of friends or friends of my family members. But they've got millions of dollars. Not happy. I don't know a single one of them that's happy. In fact, one of the ladies just lost her husband. They're both very wealthy. But they went down and got the jabs, and now he's gone. And her health is not the greatest either. So what did all that money do for them when they went down and put a poison in their body? Did that wealth help them? No, it didn't. Wisdom and intelligence are not tied to money. I learned that a long time ago. I know a lot of people that are not very smart, but they got lots of money. And people with almost no integrity. Proverbs 13, verse 11, wealth gained hastily, i.e. stock market, lottery, etc. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. In other words, how do insurance companies, mostly run by Jews, by the way, how do they get to be so rich? How do lotteries, again, Jews are all over that one, because we used to have it outlawed. Gambling was outlawed. It was considered sinful. Because what is it? It's trying to gain wealth hastily, which Proverbs 13:11 here quite clearly says is not to be done. But again, we stopped living the word. We have lots of churches teaching it. Yeah, you can go into those whitewashed sepulchers every Sunday or Saturday, and you'll hear all kinds of things. In fact, you'll probably even talk, they might even do Proverbs 13:11 here, but they'll gloss over it, and everybody will go through those doors after an hour, hour and a half, and they'll go home, and that verse will quickly be out of their head, and it has no effect on their life whatsoever. We got a lot of people who want to play church. Lots of them. They seem to feel that somehow that makes them godly. I got news for you. Doesn't do a damn thing for you. All right? I grew up in them. I've been in all kind of Protestant churches. I've even gone to a few Catholic services just to see what they're all about. I've been in almost every Protestant denomination there is. The major ones, anyway. All right? No truth. I didn't get anything that changed my life. There was nothing there. It was nice. Nice people. A lot of smiles. Also a lot of hypocrisy. Because, again, in that hour, hour and a half, there was a lot of talk about these different verses. But how many people walked out through those doors and actually put them into effect? Almost none. Very few. Very few. So the church world, with all its trappings, its rituals, its stained glass windows, the guy up front with his nice robes and nice haircut, blah, blah, blah. But where's Yahweh and all that? Where did Yahshua go spend a lot of money for Rolex watches on his wrist and a $3,000 robe hanging off his shoulders and have his hair done meticulously at the barber shop before he presented himself to the crowds? Where does it say he did that? Where does it say in Scripture he did it? Where does it say in the extra biblical accounts of Yeshua's life? Where does it say he did that? I got news for you. He did not do that. Very plain and very simple. He said, I'm not here to impress you, either by my looks, my clothes, my mannerisms. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to bring healing to those who need it. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Maybe I'm wrong. Point it out to me. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, godlessness in the last days. This one is very apropos, as well as the love of money issue. Now just take a listen here in 2 Timothy 3 at what people were up to. But understand this, that in the last days, do you think we're in the last days? Sure feels like it. There will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self. It's called narcissism. We have a pandemic in this world of narcissism. Lovers of money. Those two right there describe the vast majority of the zombies walking around. We haven't got to the rest of it, just those first two. Lovers of self, lovers of money. That describes most people. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, or you could say their ancestors, the righteous ones. Ungrateful. I've seen that in my own family with some of my children and grandchildren. Unholy, which means not consecrated to the Father. Heartless, unappeasable, meaning you can never satisfy them. Slanderous, without self-control. Brutal, not loving good. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Washington, D.C. come to mind? Sure does. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh God, having the appearance of godliness. Can you say the church world? But denying its power. Right, because what's the power of Yahweh have? The power of Yahweh has a way to change your life. When I came to Yeshua and asked Yeshua to wash my sins away and come into my life changed from that moment on. Even though I knew the Bible from the time I was a young man, it wasn't until Yeshua washed me and blessed me that day that my life completely changed from that point on. So when people say, well, you can't tell, yeah, you can tell. If you know the Father, if you've had that experience, you damn well know it happened to you. And if you didn't have it, then if you're questioning it, then it hasn't happened. You need to sincerely seek him out and ask for that experience. Ask to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ask for the infilling of his Holy Spirit over your own. And again, if you haven't done it, which most people in these churches, I can tell you for a fact, have not experienced that. They truly believe that attendance in that building is all it takes. You think that's why we were so easily fooled over the last 4 years? Why we've been fooled most of our lives by these liars, these cretins that we call government bureaucrats and officials who have been lying and cheating and stealing from us for decade upon decade? Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women. Let me stop here for a second. I like to study a lot of things in the original Greek, and I have a friend here in Florida who is from Greece, and he's the one that told me this verse right here when it says they will creep into households and capture weak women. That Greek word also applies to effeminate men. So is it important to do word studies in the actual language that it was written in? It sure as hell does. Because I've been in churches where they talked about this and the men would all puff up and go, yeah, you weak women. but it also means effeminate men, which most churches are full of, by the way. I've been there, I know. Okay? Most of the men are bossed around by the women in their family or the women of the church. Even the pastors have no testicles anymore. They let the women in the church run the show. And trust me, again, I've been there. I've seen it. So don't tell me it doesn't happen. I saw it. Up close and personal. Burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. That's your folks today, your ladies and effeminate men. Burdened with sins. What are sins now? Violations of God's law. And led astray by various passions. Passions for what? Material things? Money? We got a lot of passions that we're willing to be led astray by. Always learning. Always studying the scripture, memorizing those verses, and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. The world is full of them. I've rubbed shoulders with them. They've got Bible verses. Remember Jack Van Impe? I know 10,000 verses of the Bible by heart. Well, good, Jack, but you don't have shit for brains when it comes to the knowledge of the truth. All you can do is recite verses, and that somehow makes you holy, makes you special. No, it just means you have memorized a bunch of verses, but you don't know how to put them into practice. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Yeah, those whitewashed sepulchers are full of them. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Well, plain to all, meaning plain to all who know the truth, plain to all who love Yahweh. It's not plain to the zombies. It's not plain to the other churchgoers, pew-setters, I call them, sitting there looking at their watches. And again, I was there. I got to see it. The men sitting there looking at their watches. How much longer till this is over so I can go home? I'm hungry. I want to eat lunch. Or the ball game, the football game starts in 20 minutes. I was there. I saw it. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Do you think that's why Jews got us all in debt? But we did it willingly. Then nobody put a gun to your head. They just made it very enticing to do so. And since they control centralized banking, they were able to get away with it. And they control your government officials. If you think you got a representative up there looking after your interests, you're crazy. Luke 12, verse 15, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. All right? Guard against all covetousness. Boy, I have trouble pronouncing that one. All right? So don't covet, in other words. Guard against being covetous. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Possessions actually can become like a millstone around your neck. My own father told me that before he passed over. Yep, I spent the first half of my life trying to obtain as much as I could, and the second half of my life trying to get rid of it. Because you find it, an abundance of possessions just becomes a burden. You stress over it. You don't want to lose it. You have to clean it. You have to store it. You have to organize it, etc., etc., etc. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on Yahweh God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good. Now, obviously, they're not talking about wealthy Jews, because Jews do not do good. To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Again, these are words of wisdom to our people, the people of the Spirit of Yahweh within them, because these words are nonsense to everybody else, especially the Jews. They're laughing their asses off at the synagogue at us, quote, Bible believers, because they follow the Talmud, which basically gives them permission to do to us whatever they want, even to 3-year-old little girls. Okay, that's how sick the Talmud is. And yet you've got these Zionist Christians out here, which are brain dead, by the way, telling you that these monsters in shoe leather are God's chosen people. There is a small amount of truth in that statement. They are chosen, but they are chosen for condemnation. They are chosen for annihilation, according to Obadiah and Ezekiel. That they are chosen for. But the church world takes that to believe they're chosen to be special and that we can't hold them accountable for their multitude of crimes. And yet the word of Yahweh himself, through the Holy Spirit and even your so-called Bible, clearly states that those guilty of certain offenses are to be held accountable no matter who they are. In fact, if you read your Bibles and actually believe it, it would tell you that those who call themselves his chosen are held to a higher standard. Are the Jews held to a higher standard? No, they have the least standard. The least of all people on earth. They literally believe they should get away with rape and murder, just like they're doing in Palestine, but they've been doing it for decades and centuries and millennia. All right? So right there, that one piece of evidence tells you they're not Yahweh's truly chosen for salvation, truly chosen to administer his law on this earth. They are in fact chosen for extinction because they are the antithesis of every good thing mentioned in scripture. Every good thing. And people say, well, Dan, you sound like you're anti-Jewish. I'm anti-lies. I'm anti-violators of God's law. If Jews are doing that, yeah, of course I'm against them, but I'm also against Caucasians and Latinos and Orientals or anybody else that violates God's law. I want to see justice. The only way you get justice in this world is by initiating and following through with God's law and telling man and his law to take a hike or throw your Bibles out, because Peter, which is in the New Testament, even told you, if it's a choice between God's law and man's law, you must choose God's law. It's not a conditional. It's not a, well, you really should. No, it uses the word must. Must means just that. If you put man's law over God's law, and by the way, the great jurist William Blackstone also said this, if you put man's law over God's law, that is blasphemy. Let that sink through your heads. When you obey man's law, and you know it goes against God's law, that is a form of blasphemy. And what is the punishment for blasphemy? I'll let you look that one up yourself. Okay? I'll give you a hint, though. It's the same as the punishment for treason. Because treason typically is against a country, whereas blasphemy is a form of treason against our Creator. Yahweh says that treason is a capital offense. Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. You look at the way people behave today. Where is their treasure? Is it heavenly? Is it towards Yahweh? Or even us as racial brethren, as part of a family? Or is it towards their treasure? Meaning their wealth, their material abundance. Okay? They have laid their treasure up in earthly things. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues or speech, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But love never does it? True love. We're talking about true love here now. Not the people that pay at lip service, just like the people that pay Yahweh lip service. We got lots of them. Lots of them. Proverbs 15, verse 27. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household. But he who hates bribes will live. Okay? Those greedy for unjust gain. How did the administration get us to buy into this COVID total bullshit story right from get-go? Did they not bribe you with free money? Do you remember that? Yeah, they did. A lot of people bought into it because they got some free money. Student loans didn't have to be paid. Rent wasn't paid, which the government has no right to do, by the way. So here again, people obeyed man's law and totally forsake God's law. Okay? The government has no authority to do that, and yet we did it. We did it. We willingly disobeyed God's law and even man's law to that effect, because God and man's law says that governments, when they are instituted, must obey the governing documents. In our case, it's the Constitution. The Constitution puts a chain on government and bureaucrats, not you and me. My rights existed prior to me even showing up here. My rights come from the Creator himself. They're not from some place in Washington, D.C. or even Tallahassee. No. My rights came with me at birth. They will leave with me when I leave here. They are my rights. First John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let that one sink in too. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Mark 8, verse 36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Mark 4, verse 19, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So again, we have a lot of people study the scriptures. They know it, lots of it by heart. They study, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of what? Riches and the desires for other things enter in. All these things enter in. And what do? Choke the word. So you can study the word all you want. But if you let the three things mentioned at the first part of the verse come in, it will nullify your learning. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not Yahweh God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him. Psalm 37, verse 21, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. How about that? Psalm 37, verse 16 and 17, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Yahweh upholds the righteous. And we're going to see that play out here pretty soon. We're headed for that. I hope you know that. Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. Whoa. I can't tell you how many people I've met in church that were in banking. And when I talked to them about this verse and all, oh, well, you have to have interest. I said, really? Says who? Says who? If there's only $100 in existence and you lend out that $100, where does the interest come from? That's why we have inflation and we have the Jews creating it out of thin air. And now we have so much interest being charged, it will never, ever, ever be paid back. Ever. Are you hearing me? Ever. It's out of control. When I was a boy, I remember reading in the newspapers, because we didn't have all this electronic bullshit that we have today to distract us. So even as a boy in grade school, I would read the newspaper. But I remember reading a story about a man that was put in prison for loan sharking. Yeah, you don't hear about that anymore, do you? Well, there's a reason for that, because the Jews have taken your mind away from it, because they are loan sharks. Okay? What was loan sharking in the 1950s was charging somebody 10% interest. Did you hear what I just said? In the 1950s, you went to prison for loan sharking if you charged 10% interest. The average person, like my father, who had a small mortgage on the farm, the whole farm, I think, was less than $5,000 back in the 1950s. 70-acre farm. That's the house, the barn, the tractors, the implements for the fields, all of it, for less than $5,000. You don't see the inflation and what it's done to us? Okay. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. In other words, you're rich because of who you are, because a name is supposed to reflect who you are. And favor means favor among men. Gold and silver cannot buy that for you, okay? Jeff Bezos has a lot of, quote, wealth, but is he liked? No, because he's a dirtbag. Zuckerberg, a dirtbag. George Soros, a dirtbag. The Rothschilds, all dirtbags. Rockefellers, dirtbags. They're all dirtbags. If they did not have their gold and silver, if they did not have their Jewish electronic shekels to buy you off with, who in his right mind would even associate with these cretins? Okay? These miscreants. These immoral monsters in shoe leather. Nobody in his right mind would have anything to do with them. They're ugly on the inside, ugly on the outside. Good name is rather to be chosen, and favor among men. Romans 13, verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Acts 20, verse 35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak, and remember the words of Yahshua, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Colossians 3, verse 5, and the Father tells us here to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. What is earthly in you? Sexual immorality. What is the number one sexually immoral thing to do? Race mix. Oh, no, no, it's talking about if you sleep with your neighbor's wife. No, that's not what it's talking about. You shouldn't do that, but that's because you're coveting somebody else's property. Sexual immorality is race mixing. Followed up here, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things are idolatry. Why? Because you are putting something of this world above the Father, our Father. Okay? James chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Let this one sink in, by the way. We shall see it come to pass here shortly. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of Yahweh of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Their days are coming to an end very, very soon. Very, very soon. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of Yahweh God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I remembered that verse even as a boy. If you put Yahweh in his kingdom and his right ways, which is what righteousness is talking about, the ways that lead to life and health, etc. If you put them first in your life instead of the things of this world, then Yahweh will just, he will see to it. Even though you don't think so, he will see to it. Okay? Proverbs 23, starting at verse 4. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. Wealth is a very fickle thing in this world. That's why it says, put your efforts into things that cannot be taken from you, that don't depend on a stock market, don't depend on a currency, don't depend on Jewish international bankers. 1 Timothy 6, 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Amen. I had a bunch more here, but they're all in the same vein of what we've already talked about. All right. We're watching this world and the insanity that's going on around us because people have forgotten the basics of what Yahshua tried to teach us. They love the things of this world. They love Babylon. Okay, we could reread Revelation chapter 18 and other chapters of Revelation, and you would see that we are drunk on the delicacies of the beast. All right, the beast and the great whore, they're all tied together. The merchants of this world rely on you being drunk on their, what? Their merchandise. Drunk. And look at the people today. Are they not drunk? As soon as a new phone comes out, they've got to go out and buy it. I've got relatives that way. Thousands of dollars they spend on a damn phone. Okay, back in the day when dial phones were up, people bitched and moaned about long-distance charges. Why do they charge me for a long-distance phone call? Oh, see how much better it is today? We don't have to pay for it. No, but you're paying how much a month for that phone service with all the data that's tied to it? How much are you paying for the phone itself? Back in the day of the rotary phone and all, the phones were damn cheap. The only phone calls you had to pay for were long-distance phone calls. Guess what? You didn't make stupid long-distance phone calls. You didn't spend all day on the phone like you do now. Communicating with people many, many miles away. How much time do you waste doing that? I remember the first phone on our farm was a party line phone. People don't even know what that is. That meant three families had one phone number. Three separate houses, three separate families on three separate properties shared the same phone line. And people today don't even know what that even means. They can't even conceive of that. But I remember as a boy, my mom would tell me to call dad at work or something like that. You pick up the receiver and you put it up to your ear and you could hear the neighbors talking to somebody else. And then you would just hang the phone back up. If you were unscrupulous, of course, you could put your hand over the mic and listen in on the neighbor's conversation. Most people didn't do that, obviously, but that's, you could do it. And if it was an emergency, you would break in and say, excuse me, Peggy or Joe or whoever the neighbor was, but I've got a medical emergency here. Would you mind hanging up so I can call the doctor and then you guys can talk later? Oh, sure, sure, Dan. No problem. That's the way it was done in the old days, okay? If you had to live that way today, you'd think that the world had come to an end. Can you imagine these young people? What do you mean I can't have my own phone? I got to share? We had one phone in the entire house, and it was that way most of my childhood, clear up to high school, actually through high school. One phone in the house. That was it. One phone for everybody. I'm glad I grew up when I did. I really am. I say praise Yahweh every single day for the family I grew up in and the circumstances of my childhood living on that farm and knowing there's an existence beyond this Babylonian garbage system we have today. Knowing what it was like to grow food in a garden, going down to the creek and swim, having spring water come up into your house, ice cold, fresh, tasty spring water full of minerals that were good for you. When I went in the Air Force and I had to have some teeth extracted, some wisdom teeth, and the dentist came in to talk to me, and he had come in from Lackland Air Force Base. He was a colonel. And I was going to be a demonstration for the other dentists on the base. And that's why I got the colonel, made a special trip. And he walked into the office with my folder. He said, Dan, you're as healthy as a horse. I said, well, thank you, sir. I said, that's country living. Country living. Very little stress, lots of sunshine, lots of exercise, food out of the garden, beef from the cattle we raised, and raised with biblical teachings by a loving mother and father. Was I blessed? I had no idea just how blessed I was. Not till now. When I see this world falling apart around us, what a pleasant experience it was to have grown up in what Yahweh intended for all of us. That's the way we should all be living. Not in these concrete jungles, not in these 15-minute cities, not in what the Jew wants you to believe. I actually got to live reality. The real world as Yahweh saw fit for us to be, as his Adamic people on the land. Not just for us, but for all people, to be out from under this Jewish Babylonian system's yoke. Can you imagine that? Can we pray together that Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18 come to pass soon? I would ask all of our brethren to do that. Go look Obadiah. It's just one chapter. It's a small book at near the end, okay? Obadiah, verse 18. Let's pray that today. Let's pray Yahweh sees fit that that verse comes to pass, that he raises up that righteous army that becomes a flame and a fire to rid this poor world of the nemesis spoken of by Obadiah. Because when that group of parasites has been obliterated from this world, things will turn around very, very quickly. So consider that. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for the wisdom that you teach us by your word and by your spirit. We just pray that we're worthy, Father, that we can continue to be the light in this world full of darkness right now. Ignorance, ignorance of truth, ignorance of facts, ignorance of Yahweh himself, and certainly ignorance of your law as it was written, not as it's taught in these whitewashed sepulchers. Be with us, Father, as your ambassadors, as the touchstones and lighthouses for these people walking in darkness. Help us to be mindful that that is our role at this point in time. Give us encouragement. Give us strength. Give us goodwill. Let us never forget that you are our Creator, our Father, our Savior, our King, our Judge. You are everything to us. This world is nothing compared to you. Let us never, ever forget that, Father Yahweh. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask this in Yahweh's name, and we also ask, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.